Greetings in Jesus' name. Our Lord and Savior, and our Shepherd who will lead us safely home. And what a blessing it is to be known of Him. Truly, that is a blessing that we as His children can have. The message that I have is an assigned message. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I invite you to follow along in two scriptural readings. The first one in Matthew 10, verses 16 through 22. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, we know these are the words of Jesus. And just before he tells them that he's to be wise as serpents and harmless of doves, he warns them that he's going to be sending them out like sheep among wolves. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now there's two words in these scriptures that I have read. The word behold, and then also the word beware. When you have the word behold, it is saying that we are to take note, we are to pay attention. There's something to be said. When you have the word beware, it could be imposing that there is danger around, and we must be aware of the surroundings about us. Be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. I must admit that I struggled a bit on how to be wise as a serpent when wisdom tells me to stay away from them as far as you can. Now, we know there are people who take a liking to snakes and even have them crawl around on them. But I believe a snake would tell you that's not too much wisdom as well. Now, we would expect Jesus to tell the disciples that the people would be ready for them and receive them, and they would be shepherds among the sheep. But in these passages of scriptures, we have something quite the opposite. The apostles would be the sheep, and the people that they were going to be going to would be the wolves. And at first, this seems like a hard statement, and even unloving and unkind, if this is true. Would Jesus, the chief shepherd, instead of protecting the sheep from the wolves, actually send them into the midst of wolves? What could this really mean? I think it's simply pointing out to us the importance of a personal relationship with Christ, who is our shepherd. We also are known in different parts of the scriptures as sheep, sheep of the flock. And when you look at the characteristics of sheep, sheep are probably the most dependent and helpless of all the domesticated animals. And a shepherd has quite a job to do just keeping them alive and healthy, in addition to providing protection from the predators. And so it is with us living in a hostile world. We need a shepherd. We're not able to take care of ourselves as we ought. We need someone to rely on. We need someone to lead us, someone to protect us. If the apostles were to survive among the wolves of the world, then they must rely on Jesus, and so it is with us. A wolf. You think of a wolf, you think of hostility or hostile, or you think of a wolf that is out to make a kill. And then you think of a wolf in sheep's clothing. And what does that bring to mind? Well, brought to my mind that of deception. A wolf in sheep's clothing sometimes will show up from nowhere. And sometimes they will get involved in different areas unknowingly. And it can happen even within the church, according to the scriptures. It can happen to a family. I know in the past of a man who was a very likable person. You couldn't help but like him if you talked to him. And he could talk very smoothly. And he especially enjoyed visiting widows and talk to them. And you would think he was there to encourage them. But he went into a family one day and caused a lot of havoc in an immoral way. A wolf in sheep's clothing. And so we must be aware of things like that. They can portray themselves as Christian. They can quote scripture very well. On the outside, they look just like a Christian should look. While the truth is, it is really just a front to cover up the lies they want hidden. And certainly this man had hidden agenda that he could cover up pretty well. But you know, the Bible does say, by their fruit ye shall know him. Today, I am still thinking he's in prison because he was found out. They can quote scripture. They can be very persuasive. Romans 16 and verse 18 says, For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their good works, words, and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The world then, as now, was hostile to the Christians. And it was not just a random act, but they were intentional, purposely hostile. And that's how wolves are among sheep. If you see a wolf among the sheep, there's one aim that he has, and that is to get something to satisfy himself. How can we advance the kingdom of God effectively? Jesus taught his followers that to be Christ-like in a godless world, they must combine the wisdom of the serpent with the harmlessness of the dove. Serpents and doves. We look at the two and we think there is quite a contrast. The serpent was subtle or crafty or shrewd. In Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he knew. He was subtle enough, crafty enough, to know whom he could go and talk to and convince. The dove, on the other hand, was thought of as innocent and harmless. When Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And to this very day, doves are used as symbols of peace, but snakes are thought of as crafty or sneaky. When Jesus told the 12 to be wise as serpents and harmless of doves, I believe he laid down a general principle about the kingdom work. We see things on the horizon that are coming in an alarming pace. Things that not long ago you would never have even thought of, or it would have crossed your mind. This is the world we are living in. And yet, as God's children, as sheep, we are to take out the gospel into this world. But I believe if we are to be wise as a serpent, it means that we are to be alert. You know, a snake is alert to its surroundings, knows what is around him. And also, a snake most times stays in his own boundary. Very few incidences of snakes actually being the first to make a move to strike out at people. But you know, you cross the boundary of a snake and it's there to defend itself. So we're to be wise as a serpent, avoiding the snares set up before us. And yet, on the other hand, we must be innocent, serving the Lord blamelessly. Jesus was not suggesting that we stoop to deception, but that we should model some of the serpent's famous shrewdness in a positive way. And Jesus set forth many examples of this whole matter of wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You know the account when the woman who was caught in adultery, and those men brought the woman before Jesus, and they told Jesus that this woman was caught in the very act, and Jesus, he stooped down on the ground and began writing And as the story goes, while he was writing this on the ground, he stood up and he said, "Who of you is without sin in your life?" And again, he stooped on the ground. And when he arose again, they were gone. And he looked at the woman and he said, "Where are thine accusers?" And then he told the woman, he said, "Go and sin no more." I believe Jesus had compassion on this woman. And there again, harmless as a dove. He wasn't out to condemn her or to put her down as those that brought her to him. Christ-like living, I believe, requires that we strike the balance between the dove and the serpent. We should strive to be gentle without being pushovers, and we must also be sacrificial, doing what we can in love and all humility, without being taken advantage of. Peter admonishes us, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Those that seek to destroy the Christian are often described in the scripture as wolves. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus described the false prophets as ravening wolves. In Acts 20 and verse 29, Paul warned the Ephesian elders against grievous wolves that would rise from among them and not spare the flock, but speak perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Why does Jesus, the Good Shepherd, send defenseless sheep out into this ungodly world among the wolves? I believe there is where he can best use us in his service to do our part, to share the gospel, to spread the gospel, and to do what we can to bring people out of bondage. But you know, as we go, we need someone to lead, to guide us, and to trust in. And the shepherd knows what he's looking for and what he's doing and the purpose he has for each sheep. John tells us that Jesus will not lose any of his sheep. Now, that doesn't mean the sheep will not be persecuted or tormented and even many killed. But it does mean that Jesus will gather each one to himself in heaven and give to them eternal life. The sheep, as we know the scriptures and what the scriptures teach, oftentimes will be persecuted, tormented, and martyred, because the shepherd, who is also the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, was persecuted. He was tormented and hung on the cross. The scripture is clear that those who live godly lives will be persecuted. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Paul said it in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Peter said it in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." The world will hate us because the world hates Christ. Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. In Matthew chapter 10, in this passage, Jesus warns the apostles of this fact. There will be serious opposition. They will be like sheep among wolves. And while the call here is specific to the disciples, the principle is repeated in many other places, and it applies to us as well. As you consider the churches of our day, especially mainstream churches, it seems their message is health, wealth, and prosperity. And there are many out there willing to tickle our ears with the message if it is what you want to hear. But that is not the message that we find in Scripture. The current popular appeal to get people in their church is a message of ease, comfort, riches, and advancement. Yes, there is joy unspeakable in Christ, but the appeal Jesus makes to those that will be in his church is not that. In other words, it is hardship, suffering, and even death. Now, I do have a question that I'd like for you to consider. What keeps us in the faith? And you think about that. What is it that keeps your faith alive? And what will it be that our faith can endure until the end and hear those blessed words, "Come, thou good and faithful servant"? What keeps us in the faith? We live in America. We live in a free country. And there are many, many blessings that go along with that. And I don't want to minimize on that. But we know that we live in a country that is prosperous. Prosperity is something that affects all of us. And there again, prosperity is a blessing if we keep it in its proper place. But suppose the freedom of our country would be taken away. Suppose there would be persecution that would come in, and our church doors would be shut. What would that do to our faith? Would it increase our faith? Or would we become so discouraged because of the persecution that we would be losing, that we would lose out? Another thing that I thought about is what keeps us in the faith. Is it the church? Now there again, we have many blessings to be members of a congregation. I consider it a blessing to be a member here at Summit View. And to be a member here at Summit View has helped me many times in knowing the scriptures to a better understanding. That is a blessing. But you know, we also know that churches face struggles at times. And sometimes churches go through fierce trials that can even undermine our faith if we're not careful. What will that do to our faith? Will it make us stronger? Will we look into the Word more? Will it bring us closer to Jesus when we see these things happening? What will it do to our faith? We have our families. Families, all of you know, are a blessing. We enjoy God's design of husband and wife, coming together and then bearing children, as the Lord wills. We have the blessing of rearing up our children in a Christian environment, but we also know there can be struggles within the family because of children coming to the age where they begin to make their own choices. And some of those choices are not as they have been taught. And it grieves the heart of the parents very much. What can that do? It can affect our joy of the Lord in our hearts. It can be. It can affect us. And it can be very real. But will that take us away from the faith? Young people. In fact, I see nearly half the church here with young people. I encourage you, be faithful. Be a blessing to the church. Be a blessing to your parents. You will never regret it. But you make one wrong choice in life, it can affect you for the rest of your life and can even take away your faith if you're not careful. Be faithful. What keeps us in the faith? It's an answer that we must come to terms with, because it is all so important if we want to end up well. Number one, the fear of God. The fear of God, the Bible tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. To fear God is to recognize His holiness, to recognize His almighty ways, to recognize His all-seeing eye, to recognize the things that He has designed for man to benefit in the Christian life. We serve an holy God, a God who is righteous in all things. But we also know that He is a God of wrath, and His time will come to take sin away. What keeps us faithful? I believe the second point is that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the foundation of truth. If we swerve away from the truth, we come into the territory of the evil one, who is the father of all lies. He's an accuser of the brethren, and he is out to destroy. Have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because that is the foundation of the truth. The third point, what keeps us faithful? It is the Word of God. Thank you, Brother John, for that devotional this morning. The Word of God will keep us in the straight and narrow way. The Word of God is truth. You can rely on it 100%. You do not have to read the Word of God and then question whether this is so or not so, like any other book. But we can read it, we can take it into our heart, and benefit by it. The fear of God, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. And also, I consider here the church. The church helps us to be faithful as we maintain unity and love amongst us. So what should our attitude be in the midst of these wolves? We are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Colossians tells us in chapter 4, verse 5, to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We are to be uncompromising in proclaiming God's truth, not to make apologies of it, but to be convinced that what we are saying and what we are proclaiming is the truth of God's word. But you know, as we go out into this world, We face many, many different opportunities. I believe to be wise as serpent and to be harmless as doves is not to be abrasive about our approach, not to be arrogant, not to be proud because we have all the answers. You know, there's I think of in the past when we were serving over in Kenya, there were times when we went out into the streets and handed out tracts. And of course, you would meet all kinds of people. And some of them could hardly walk because of their drinking problem. And you know, there's a few different ways that you can talk to a person like that. You could tell that person, because of the problem that you are having, it's going to take you to hell. Well, that's really not being very wise. Yes, it may be true, it is true, if he continues in that and he's addicted to that problem and is not willing to let go of it and repent of his sin, that is true. But there would be a much better way, and this is where I think the harmlessness of dove comes in. We could go to that person and say, you know, I see that you have a problem, and it's not good for your life. There is a better way, and present Jesus. And I think that will go much further than to be abrasive in our approach. Wise and innocent, cunning and gentle, perceptive and pure. This describes the qualities of discretion. We could read about Paul, who was uncompromising as anyone when it came to the scriptures, yet he knew how to talk with the people about the gospel without unnecessary offense. He could speak to the Jews, the Greeks, weak, strong, slave, or free. He became all things to all men, that he might by all means save some. Paul had a purpose in mind. Paul had an agenda in his heart, and so he wanted to do the best that he could to convince the people that Jesus was for real. We see the same characteristic in David in his relationship with King Saul. You know, it was in David's hand one day to allow his servant to drive that spear into Saul's heart and away with him. But David said, no, we cannot do this to the Lord's anointed. We see this in Mordecai as he responded to arrogant Haman, and also in Abigail, whom the scripture describes as a woman of good understanding and discretion, as she put up with her foolish husband. You know, it's not very wise or spiritual or loving to needlessly incite anger or trouble. The proverb writer tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 12 and 13, that we are to follow the Lord's example. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we suffer. Being defamed, we entreat. It matters not what people think of us, but it does matter what they think of Christ, whom we represent. And humility goes a long way in doing all of that. Now, how do you identify a wolf? Well, it's not hard to know a wolf. You know a wolf by the way he looks. But how do you identify a wolf in sheep's clothing? That can be a bit more difficult. And why would a wolf put on sheep's clothing? I mean, after all, the wolf has the power to go into the sheep and get what he wants for his own satisfaction. But I think there is a reason here that a wolf dresses up in sheep's clothing, and that is to come in under the disguise of the shepherds. How do we tell if something or someone is genuine, truthful, honest, or real? How do we not get tricked by what we see, hear, feel, or read, such as fake news? How do we not fall prey to the schemes of con artists, the telephone messages saying your Social Security will stop if you don't call immediately, the emails asking for money to help someone in a desperate situation? And sorry to say, smartphones and social media make it quite easy for the wolf in sheep's clothing to take advantage of unsuspecting people, and on a large scale. How to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves? Again, we have the Word of God that we can go to find the answer. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. 2 John chapter 1, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then Matthew 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Ephesians 5, 6, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now again, notice some of the intense wording that God is using here in some of these verses. When he's telling us not to be partakers with these kinds of people, and that we are not even to let them step into our houses. Once again, the Lord is asking for all of us to draw a line in this battle of good and evil. He's telling all of us to stay on our side of the fence, and that we are not to fellowship or hang out with these kinds of people, groups, or beliefs. Now, this is not to say that we cannot witness to them to try and get them saved as the Holy Spirit will lead, but we still have to stay on our side of the fence until we can get them saved and delivered from the bondage that they have been in all of this time. You can witness to someone who may be living in a false cult, but that does not mean you have to be going to their meetings, to their churches, or their actual organizations they belong to. Notice in the verse from 1 Timothy 4, 1, and that it says that the Holy Spirit is giving us fair warning that in the latter days there will be some Christians who will be falling into some of these false doctrines, and as a result they will be literally be falling away from their faith in the Lord himself. We must behold the times we are living in, and we must be aware of the times that we are living in. The gospel message, the message that Jesus gives many times over in the scriptures, is that the church will suffer persecution. Actually, we are a minority. Few people in the world that have it like we do. Many parts of the world are suffering because of their faith in Christ Jesus. To be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, we must be careful in our day. You know, we're in the midst, I guess I could say, of this COVID issue. And there again, I believe we must be wise in how we answer people according to this whole thing of the vaccine. I just heard, a week or so ago, that everyone who receives the COVID vaccine will die in 2 or 3 years. Well, where does that come from? I have no idea. How did they know that is true? I have no idea how they came to that conclusion. There again, be wise in how you give answer to something like that. If it proves not to be true, what does it make you but a false prophet? The time is here to close. The verse from Matthew 24 says that the signs and wonders coming in from some of these false prophets and false Christs will be so good that even some of the elect are going to be fooled and swept off of their feet. Brothers and sisters, we have the sure foundation of truth. We do not need to be afraid of the times we're living in, but we must behold, we must be aware. And I think that the closer we stay to the Word of God, the more we can identify wolves coming in sheep's clothing. What keeps us in the faith? The fear of God, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, we can be a help to one another to remain faithful until Jesus calls us home. Shall we kneel for prayer?